I'd like to ask you to read with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, please. Luke's Gospel and chapter 13. It's a privilege to welcome you to the tent tonight. We're glad to see so many who have come to be with us tonight. I judge you would be here for the first time, and we give you a special welcome to the meeting. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall begin to say, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. I trust it's safe to assume that all that are here this evening believe the book from which we have been reading to be the Word of God. I hope that that means that you accept its truth exactly as it is given to us, that you believe that this is the God-breathed Word of God, that it is the only reliable source of truth. I do trust that you will then accept the accuracy of the teachings of the Lord Jesus as we have them before us in these verses we have read tonight. I'm interested in what the Lord Jesus says for very many reasons. And one of the reasons that this passage tonight is before us, and I have read from it, is that there are a number of impressive, a number of striking things that I want to leave in your mind from the words of the Lord Jesus. It seems to me, the closer I look at this passage, the more my head rather responds with a jerk, almost step by step, as the Lord Jesus moves down the passage. There are some things of tremendous interest and significance and value, of course, in the words that the Lord Jesus gives us in this passage. Let me draw your attention, first of all, to what I would term a striking question. It's not his question, it's a question that was asked of him by a man who was around him. Are there few that be saved? Now I have to tell you tonight, I'm not exactly sure what this man had in mind in his question. He may have been expressing surprise. He may have been trying to convey to the Lord Jesus, you've made some tremendous claims on where are all your followers. I'm not sure exactly the intent of this man, but I am sure of this. He had gathered from whatever he had heard of the Lord Jesus preaching that the Lord Jesus spoke about being saved. He understood that the central mission of the Lord Jesus, and it is expressed in this gospel, Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus then was preaching and teaching about salvation. You'll understand then that all the passage that follows has to do with the subject of salvation. I think it's worth pointing out as well that this salvation of which the Lord Jesus spoke is a salvation that goes beyond present-day things. In this passage, you will see that the Lord Jesus is dealing with things beyond this life. When men and women have gone and gone into the next world, He makes it very clear that some will have gone to enjoy blessings beyond description. And He makes it abundantly clear as well that some will have gone into that next world to endure grief beyond description as well. And that the difference between being in eternal bliss and eternal grief is involved in this word being saved. To be saved is to be delivered from the danger of eternal darkness. To be saved is to be delivered to enjoy eternal blessings. That then is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. A man who had listened to Him understood that was His emphasis. I would gather this as well. Assuming that this man is expressing something of surprise, that the man has gathered that this matter of salvation expresses an overwhelming blessing. One of the verses that I love to make sure that children learn is very simple in its wording. That's one of the reasons I like to make sure children learn it. It's a grand thing to be saved. Now, the second line is not hard to learn because it's just the same as the first. It's a grand thing to be saved. To know it to and to show it to, it's a grand thing to be saved. So that if in the first moments of the meeting tonight there is one thing that impresses you, I trust it will be this. It is a grand thing to be saved. It is possible, in keeping with what the whole Bible teaches, to have this salvation, to be absolutely sure that you will be in heaven, to be enjoying the foretaste of heaven now, and to be sure that forever your soul, in its eternal existence, will be with God and enjoying the blessings of that coming heaven. Could I then impress upon you tonight the importance of what the Lord Jesus taught, the importance of our message of salvation through Christ? But a second thing that I find striking in this passage is the illustration that the Lord Jesus uses. In essence, He takes the picture by His few words, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He is picturing a road that is passing by a gate. And that gate He describes as being the determiner between being saved and not being saved. The determiner between being bound for eternal blessings, heaven, or being left for eternal life and the judgment of God in hell. His illustration is so simple. It is remarkable for its simplicity. For the Lord Jesus says that the only difference between going down to eternal judgment, not being saved, and being saved and going to heaven is this door. Let me quote for you another of the words of the Lord Jesus. You will see it applies very carefully to this passage. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So could I simply say tonight that the difference between being saved and not being saved is Christ. It is not a question tonight of whether you believe the teachings of Christ. It is not a question tonight whether you belong to a church that goes by a Christian name. But the ultimate question that I would like to press upon you is this. Has there ever been a time when you personally entered through Christ, when Christ became all your hope of salvation, and you look back to that moment and you say, once I was on the other side, Christ was not my Savior, and in one moment I stepped in through that door, by faith I received Christ as my Savior, I am saved. Could I ask you tonight then very simply and clearly, are you saved? When were you saved? How were you saved? If I were to ask the same question and approach it differently, I would ask you tonight, what is it that gives you hope of being in heaven? Now, I know what some people answer to that. I go to church. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. But I'll tell you tonight that no church is the door. No ordinance is the door. Being baptized, taking communion, that's not the door. If you are trusting in anything other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have missed the simplicity of this illustration, and rather than being on the road that leads to eternal blessing, rather than being on the road to heaven itself, rather than being saved, you are still outside of Christ, you are still not saved. And I suppose, as much as that is a direct affront in the first 20 minutes of this gospel meeting to any who have come to sit to listen, it would be the best thing that I could do for you tonight to make it very clear to you from the Word of God where you stand in God's view. If you were to discover tonight from the Bible that you are not saved, that whatever else you may have, whatever else may be to your credit, you are not inside the door, then tonight, you see, you would have the possibility before you of entering through that door and through the Word of God being absolutely sure that you are saved. I'm interested in that because in this illustration, the Lord Jesus presents a remarkable accessibility. Do you see the way He presents salvation? He does not tell us, now there are 7 steps in order to be saved. And if you go through these long and tedious, difficult steps, you'll never quite know when you've gone from one to the next, but if you pursue them with all your heart, it may be that someday you will take the 7th step and find yourself saved. Listen to how the Lord Jesus presents it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Here's the gate. It's just along the highway that you are traveling. And if you will simply step in through that gate, you will be saved. What that means very clearly is this. To every soul in this gathering tonight, salvation is accessible. There are some in the meeting tonight who may think that there is a lengthy process involved in this matter of salvation. And as you sit and listen tonight, you've understood that you do need to be saved or you will never be in heaven. And you have thought, well, now what the preacher is saying is he hopes that I will become emotionally stirred. He hopes that I will be interested in coming back to these meetings. He hopes that I will be interested in learning more about the message that he is preaching. And he hopes after these number of things will happen that I will agree to whatever I am supposed to agree to and go through whatever steps I am supposed to go through. And when all that has taken place, then I too can be saved just as surely as he says he is. Now, if I've conveyed that to you tonight, I have made a tremendous blunder in my preaching already. I want to tell you just on the seat where you are sitting tonight, where you are right now, before this meeting closes, you can be saved. I don't mean that there's any difference whether you have heard the gospel all your life or whether you are listening to the gospel for the first time. You could be saved tonight. It's simply a matter that there's a door that stands open. And sometimes we have sung as well with children, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened and I come in at Calvary's cross. It's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Salvation is accessible to every soul in this gathering tonight, accessible on the very simplest of terms. God is not asking you to reform. But maybe someone who has come to this meeting tonight and you have known the slavery of drugs or of other habits. Could I tell you tonight, if you're willing to come as a sinner to trust the Savior, you can be saved tonight. Your life will be transformed tonight. And there may be a soul sitting in this tent this evening, and you have decided it's time you changed your ways, time you tried to do things a little different. Could I tell you simply and plainly tonight that you will never, ever be able to rid yourself of the slavery of sin. You will never be able to make yourself presentable enough to answer to the character of a holy God, that if you come as a sinner tonight, you can be saved tonight. There's a door stands open wide, and it's yours tonight to simply step in and to be saved. The Lord Jesus as well presents to us what is a remarkable opportunity. If I could only convey to you tonight that there is something grander going on in this gospel meeting than if we were telling you that one person from this meeting tonight will leave this tent with $1 million. You'd have pretty good odds compared to the lotteries that people are paying their money for. If I told you there was one person in the tent tonight who will leave with $1 million, guaranteed, I think you'd sit up and say, now just a minute, I don't want to miss anything that he has to say. Well, what do I have to do? What seat is it? Am I sitting in the right place? I think there are some that would be mighty interested in that. I want to tell you tonight that there are men and women in this tent, I cannot tell you how many, and they could leave as millionaires for eternity tonight. There's no limit on the number, and there's no describing the blessing. Oh, tonight, let me tell you once again that above everything else that you need to be saved. Above everything else that will bring blessing and joy to your life, salvation will bring joy and eternal blessing. And it's available to you tonight. The third striking thing that I want to leave in your mind in this passage is that the Lord Jesus gives a striking answer to the man who asked the question. The man says, I refuse to be saved. The Lord Jesus, if I might just put a little something in the passage that's not given to us exactly, I think I can read an intensity in his eyes that I hear in his words. I wish I had the capability of the Lord Jesus in this to look into the eyes of some that are here tonight and pour my heart through my eyes into your soul. And as the Lord Jesus said, say to you tonight, listen, my friend, it doesn't matter whether there are few being saved or not. The ultimate matter is this. You go in for getting God's salvation with all your heart. Only those who are interested in having God's salvation will receive salvation. Salvation is not some luxury you can add to your collection of luxuries. Someday will be a good time to get it. What the Lord Jesus is saying is this. There is an absolute urgency to this matter of salvation. Gospel preachers, evangelists have a caricature of being men that are zealous, you know. Hope so. I hope the day never comes that men who say they are preaching the gospel lose a mark of zeal and holy earnestness. My friend, tonight there is nothing more important, there is nothing that deserves greater attention than this matter that you strive to enter in at the straight gate. You see, there will always be difficulties. No matter when the time is that you hear the message of the gospel, there will always be some problem come into your mind that will tell you, now listen, now's not a good time. This job offer is coming up, or this particular plan is before you, or certain people just at the moment are not going to be favorable. Well, if you do this now, you've got other things you've got to take care of. There will always be some difficulties. The Lord Jesus says, whatever the difficulty may be, forget the difficulty.
Get your eye on the goal, overlook everything in between, and strive with all your heart and might. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And would God there were souls in the tent tonight that realize this matter of salvation is not the preachers trying to get across to us some of it for effect. This matter is what the Lord Jesus himself says demands absolute urgency. Not only are there difficulties anticipated, but there's a deadline involved. It is that that lends weight to the words of the Lord Jesus. Strive to enter in, because, says the Lord Jesus, the time will come when people will seek to enter in, but they won't be able. There's a deadline coming. I would have to tell you tonight that this is impressed on me this evening. As I sat here at the time before the meeting began, a friend came to me to give me news that I expected to receive sometime soon. But when you receive the news, the weight of it is impressive. This past March, David Alves and I were having gospel meetings in Phoenix, in Arizona. The place where the meetings were held was a Spanish-speaking neighborhood. I certainly was at a distinct disadvantage. My 4 years of Spanish from high school left me as the first time I heard someone speaking in Spanish. I forgot the whole thing I ever learned. So when a man came from just around the corner from where we were meeting, first night of those meetings, and came back repeatedly, he told us early that he was living with his brother and his brother was dying. And he told us his brother Margarito would like to have us go to visit him. So there was no point in my going. Margarito spoke Spanish. So David went to visit with him, had a good visit with him. That man was doubled over with pain, almost doubled over with pain. He couldn't sit. And as David visited with him, he would just pace back and forth in the room. He spent his days walking around the blocks or near home. He could not sit still for the pain. And he kept impressing on David that he wanted to be sure that he would be in heaven. You say, that man was sick. Yes. That man was facing death. Yes. That man realized there was a deadline. I wish I could recall for you all the details of what took place in those next days. But I was kindly by David brought into another visit. David said, you go ahead and try to explain the gospel to him, and then I'll just translate it. Well, as it turned out, the man's married to an English-speaking wife. She speaks English and can't speak Spanish. He speaks Spanish and can't speak much English. But the two of them somehow communicate, and I was in on the same wavelength. I began to try to express to him the gospel. And we were both surprised. There were only a few spots where there was a little need for translation. Does that man holding his stomach at times listen to the gospel being presented to him? He just simply looked up at us and told us, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and the Bible says that I am saved. The news came to me tonight that Margarito is now gone into eternity. I am so glad we had the opportunity to meet that man. I am so glad that that man realized there was a deadline and nothing else was more important than getting this matter of his soul's salvation settled. What strikes me tonight is that the Lord Jesus in this passage paints for us a deadline. And there are souls in the meeting tonight that do not realize they are working with a deadline. I cannot tell you when that deadline is. But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus meant that the moment that He comes to the air, in His Word He promises that He will come. The moment that He comes to the air, every person who is saved will leave planet Earth and be with Him in heaven. And every person who is not saved will be left behind to find the door that once was open is now shut. Could I tell you tonight, simply and urgently, you are facing a deadline. I do not know for how long you will have available to you salvation through faith in Christ. The matter of urgency needs to be pressed upon every soul. Strive to enter in. Listen, if it's possible for you to be saved, would not tonight be a grand night, the 26th of June in 1992? Wouldn't it be a grand night to have this matter settled? And if you have weeks to live, to look back to it and thank God you were saved in the gospel tent on that Friday night of the first week of meetings. And if the Lord Jesus comes to look back from heaven, to Empire Stadium, and a blue and white tent, and a night when you personally receive Christ as your Savior. I want to impress on you tonight just one other thing from this passage, and it is this. The Lord Jesus says that when it comes to this matter of salvation, and when all the preaching is finished, there will be some who will be in heaven, a remarkable company. There will be some who will be left outside, weeping and gnashing their teeth. And I want to leave with you tonight the principle that the Lord Jesus gives. Now listen to me. There are first which shall be last. There were people that fully expected to be inside, but they'll be last, they will never be inside. There were people that had eaten and drunk in His presence. Maybe they took communion at church on a Sunday morning. He had taught in their streets. Maybe they were familiar with it. Maybe they studied the theology that had to do with His teaching. They were first. Maybe they were brought up in a Christian home. Maybe they were prayed for before they were ever born. Maybe they went to gospel meetings and many times they were interested in being saved. Maybe there were times when tears were streaming down their face and they were so concerned and they thought, surely I will get salvation. There are first. But they'll never be inside. I would like to speak to favored young people in this tent tonight and tell you the fact that you are sitting in a gospel meeting and the fact that you are respectful to the preaching of the gospel is no guarantee that you will ever be in heaven. There are first which shall be last. And remarkably, says the Lord Jesus, there are last which shall be first. There may be some soul in the tent tonight, and you may say, I don't think it will ever be possible for me to be saved. Could I tell you tonight, you're just the candidate. Salvation is available to you tonight. God brings the hungry in from the distance and brings them into blessing. He brings people that are self-satisfied and leaves them outside forever. God grant there may be some soul tonight that will heed the urgency of the Savior's message and strive to enter in tonight while you can be saved.